You're listening to Red Nation Online.
Saturday, March 7th, it's the original 109s, George Skirtzis, East Side Stand-Ups, Paul Marhue, and I'm Ian Clark. And is it deja vu? No way. Toronto once again start the season with a road win, but it's different this time. Two goals from the DP striker. But wait, it ends 3-1 with contributions from Justin Morrow and Robbie Finley. We discussed just that. Compare and contrast 2014 to 2015 TFC. Who were the key players through the match? Staying true to form, though, finding some areas of concern, and look ahead to Columbus next weekend. We finish off with George outlining some changes to support at BMO Field and how things are looking in the South End come May. All that and more on the next 40 minutes on East Side Stand Up.
Okay, so let's just dig right into this, guys. And I think this is the talking point I want to start off with. I want to rewind 1 year. Elation, hope. You know, we've made it finally. And after today, contrast comparisons. Are we getting ahead of ourselves again, or is this something different?
Are you talking about last year after the first win with Seattle?
Yes.
Okay.
And so the situations are similar. Yeah. Do you not agree?
Yeah, I agree.
We go away to a place that we should never win. We should never win the game. We lost in Vancouver twice. Vancouver, if I'm not mistaken, has never lost a home opener.
No, they haven't.
And then last year we go into a place that's arguably tougher in Seattle. I mean, we're on top of the world. I was, anyways, after that game.
Yeah.
And then it came down to reality.
Then after game, what was it, 4? We all...
got to, well, the last one you were on, podcast was titled Friends Don't Like Friends, Watch TFC Alone.
Oh, yeah.
We were at a point of the season where it was absolutely depressing.
Oh, I can't remember it.
It was the one where, remember Gilberto scored the goal and they called it back because they said he fouled the guy? Yeah. That was the game that we watched.
That was the one. Yeah.
But here we are here where, hey, we're getting the calls. We got the calls this game.
I think the difference between this year and last year was that last year, Defoe scored 2, all right? We won 2-1 in Seattle. This year, we win 3-1. Altidore scores 2.
Yeah.
But
we have the American national team.
We have that. But isn't our team better than it was last year? Just balance-wise.
It is.
We couldn't say that last year. We didn't know.
No.
Right? We were so kind of caught up.
We had Defoe and the big bloody butt.
Stuff like that. But now that we've kind of been through that awfulness.
Yeah.
This year, it seems better. It seems more balanced.
Well, we always do this. Every year.
Well,
yeah. So maybe the point is really is how are we putting this game in perspective?
Cautious optimism, I think.
I think we're a better team this year than we were last year with this win, that first season on the road. I think we're a better team.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that we didn't, as a team, play as well as we could be. We played kind of average, frankly.
It was fluid through the midfield.
Yes, but
in the defense,
we can do better, right?
Of course, you can always do better.
So, I mean,
in the back half,
I guess the idea is how much can we do better and how much can other teams do better. I think we have a lot more to give. And part of this is me just excited because we won.
Well, I mean, that's it. Just first impressions, I was pleasantly surprised. I thought it was going to be a more even game. I thought the first half was going to be a better indication of the whole game. Of it's sort of Vancouver looked like they were dictating the game more, but Toronto had that one punch, knockout power. And I thought that was going to carry over. And then the second half, I thought Vancouver looked pretty shit, to be honest.
It went back into a boring MLS game, it looked like, for a little bit. But I think that what it showed in the second half was that I think that at any time we have that ability to score. And no matter if we're behind one or two, I don't think...
And I think that's key, right? Like, yeah. We have some quality. Like, we had quality last year, but we didn't have quality that worked together. You know, this year we seem to.
I think it's going to help with Bradley and Altidore and Finley and all these guys who are on the American national team. They play together, and I think the gelling isn't gonna take as long as it would have last year before Defoe got injured.
What do you guys think of, like, Jovinko and Bradley together, yeah, just in this game? Like, nothing really stood out to me.
If I'm talking about this game, I didn't see anything that sort of, like, stood out as, like, oh, someone was head and shoulders above the rest in this game.
No.
I mean, obviously, when you look back and you say, you know, Altidore scoring two goals, that's probably what you walk away with. But everything else was, I think, a little more subtle. You know, Jovinko, looked fine. I liked Cheru in this game, to be honest.
Cheru played good.
I thought he had some nifty moves and was, like, slaloming through the midfield quite effectively, and that was a bit of a surprise for a guy who's a little bit older.
Yeah, and Perkey, I mean, like, he looked good. He got into some scuffles.
Yeah, I kind of liked that. He was like, standing toe-to-toe with Watson at the end.
And that's good. We don't have that. I think it's...
I think it was a tough road.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. So just, like,
I'm ecstatic. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm trying to find something bad to say. I've been a very negative person for the last 8 years over this club sometimes.
Well,
but
should we try to find something bad to say about the game?
No, we're not going to find anything.
It wasn't perfect.
See those Southsiders? My God.
Well, I mean, we can run through the match now, and
that's maybe
the first thing that I think we should maybe bring up, and maybe that is a discussion point of things of potential concern, is the way the game started. And of course, it's the first game of the year. We're on the road, but we're going to be on the road for, what, 7 or 8 games?
Six more now.
Right. And if I had to say something, is that, I mean, Vancouver, I thought, looked really good out of the gate. They missed some opportunities. They should have probably, you know, I think a more clinical team would have been up 2-0.
Well, Bendik, I know my friend here will agree to disagree.
I don't dislike Bendik. I just don't think he's, you know, all that.
Bendik,
you know?
I keep on saying this, man. Bendik like Bendik.
Bendik like Bendik.
Anyways, I think it could have been a different story. I think they got lucky. We could have scored right before they did. I think that goal was a little...
Yeah.
Out of the blue.
Jovinko had a near goal.
Yeah. Let's talk about then. I mean, Vancouver had the near miss very early on. That should have been 1-0 for Vancouver right out of the gate. And that was, that was what I was talking about. I mean, Vancouver from the start was spreading it around. They were getting the players that needed the ball.
I would expect them to. It's the first game of the season, and they're at home. Where is Toronto? Everybody has a hate on for Toronto and Vancouver.
And they're on that
turf. It's just life.
They're used to. And
yeah, that's like the blanket I got at Target, 30% off.
Same thing.
Same thing. But I think that I don't think Vancouver didn't show anything than what you would expect of them of a home opener.
Yeah.
And playing against Toronto.
Here's the thing that I find interesting. Vancouver in the preseason was doing well.
Yep.
Right? They did really well.
Yeah.
And Toronto, you could say they didn't, with the exception of maybe New York, they didn't play a lot of, like, tough opponents during the preseason. So, like, given who each team played, who should have been more prepared for this game?
Vancouver should have.
Yeah.
The way we played, I didn't see anything in the preseason that would say that we were a good club. I didn't see any gelling.
And do you think that Vancouver should have been more prepared and they lost? Okay, a penalty makes it a little more...
Which penalty? They lost the penalty?
The last penalty. Well, yeah.
That was a dive. Let's not get it.
Yeah, we'll get into it as we get through it. Okay. I think Vancouver probably... I mean, there's more continuity through Vancouver's lineup than there is with Toronto's, right? So, you know, their coaches, they've had now Carl Robinson now going to the second year, so... I think they probably should have been a little more prepared, but I think Vancouver has something to address at the end of this game, and it's maybe not necessarily being prepared. It's just seeing through that second half, because that first half, I mean, that goal that they opened up with was great, and you know, there was some hype around this Rivero guy, but also wondering how good he'd be in MLS. And I think the maybe the criticism or the question for Toronto going forward is when they're playing a team like that has fast wingers or forwards, and they play this high line with Perkey and Caldwell, who's just their legs aren't there.
Yeah.
And we're gonna get caught out.
Oh, we will. And that's where I think that ability to score
for Caldwell or both.
For both.
I think for both. I don't necessarily think Perkey. I mean, Perkey's not as slow as Caldwell, but.
But they're older. I don't think
either of them are necessarily like quick.
I don't think they'll. I don't. Yeah, that's good. That's true. We've always had this problem though. In the defense, we've never been a strong club. Like we could always. How many games do we go last year where we think we're gonna win and then we get scored on in the 90th minute? I don't think we have the legs in the back half.
Yeah.
I mean, midfield through the strikers, I think we're great. I think that we match up against any team in the league, if not better.
Yeah.
And that's not just being because I'm a TFC supporter, but I think in the back end, we need improvement.
Do you think that... I didn't get a sense this game. Like, I got a sense just because of what I've lived through as a Toronto FC supporter that we were going to get scored on really late. But in general, I didn't think our back line had to really face a lot of adversity towards the end, and that's gotta be because of our midfield, right? Like they didn't like.
You could maybe say that
running scared.
Yeah, I usually see that backline bending and bending and bending, and it's like waiting for it to break, and it never really came like that. You know what I mean? Like it wasn't like the, you know, the dam wasn't like about to burst. It was very, everything seemed under control. It didn't look like at any point Vancouver was really threatening.
It might even it out. I mean, with the threat up front and through the mid, it might even out the back. I gotta see. It's only game one. I mean, if it does even out, then that's great. Maybe there's a fear factor, and that helps us.
Yep.
And people are afraid to push up.
Well, I think definitely like Altidore got some attention up front. Well,
Altidore was a beast in the like this game. He reminded me of when he was first here.
Yeah, and even if you look at the thing, I don't know about surprise, but the first goal. You know, the one thing I actually wanted to say, because I think the first goal, a lot of people say, oh, Jovinko to Altidore, what a great combination. But I think a lot of that work was Osorio before. And he was battling with Tybert, right? Trying to, like, sort of dribbling around and fighting with that ball and kind of going out wide. And then he fed it through. And I thought that was the key to that play unraveling was Osorio maintaining possession, keeping possession, and passing it off.
Osorio is good. He's been even last year. The kid's good.
Yeah, do you think he's gonna get a chance this year?
I think he should.
I think they're gonna give him the chance this year for sure. It's his spot to lose.
I don't think he's gonna lose it, but he doesn't give up.
Yeah.
Maybe some hard luck sometimes, but.
I thought he played well
he's a
today.
Beast. He's good. He's a good player.
And then it's sort of the question of. You know, you kind of see something like that unfold, and you're kind of, you know, with Jovinko to Altidore, and you're like, wow, and this is, you know, we're on game one. They're probably not even in sync yet, right?
They're not in sync, but, I mean, Jovinko to Altidore, I mean, it's going to be to get the head office happy, let's put it that way, because they're two biggest signings, you know. That's what they're going to write in the papers. We may deconstruct things and say Osorio did it as supporters or fans.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to do what...
Yeah, they'll call out Jovinko and they'll call out Altidore.
I think they will.
Yeah.
I think you might not find Osorio in that comic book.
Yeah. And I was surprised by the touch, to be honest. I mean, on that play, there was not very much room for him to operate, to sort of shimmy to the right, and then still find the space to score the goal. I was like, oh, there's no way this is going, and he's way off balance. And he struck at home.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Altidore, I mean, like I said, I don't know what happened to him in England, but I think this is his league. I think this is where he's best suited for. It's a shame, but, I mean, he's going to be a champ here. I don't know what to say. Maybe a champ. Too premature, but... You know what I mean? I think that Jovinko needs more time. I don't know if we want to talk about him, but I think he's gonna have the hardest time adapting. I mean, Serie A, different story. You're coming from Juventus or wherever. You're a striker. It's easy to score.
Yeah. Did you think?
I think he has the adapting to do.
How do you think he handled his first game in MLS? Just in terms of like people. Marking him and maybe the physicality of the league.
I don't think he flinched.
No.
I don't think he shied away.
Not at all. None at all.
He backed up those tattoos. You know what I mean? I think he did. He made an impression. I don't think it was anything overwhelming. I don't think he did something to stand out. But I think he held his own in on the turf that everybody's worried about.
Yeah, you know? And I think that as the team, as this team gets better, I think more will open up for him. You know, as people as people get in sync and start connecting better, you know, it won't all just be like Bradley to Giovinco to Altidore. We'll start spreading it around where it'll be Cheru out wide to Finley or to Osorio, and then once all that happens, then Giovinco will start finding his space and making things happen. Yeah, I think that's what
I haven't seen a ball dip like that in the MLS in, since probably Maicon Santos.
That was a good call.
I mean, for real, I haven't seen a ball dip like that. I mean, it wasn't a powerful strike, but like that was nice to see. It's a difference instead of, you know, didn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
But he's got his attributes. So I think he's going to be fine.
Yeah.
He's going to make Woodbridge proud.
Yeah, and then it's like, you know, we're sitting at 1-1 at the half, which no complaints. I mean, there's still like, at that point, you're thinking, well, there's lots of game to go. It can go anyway, but with the way that we scored, I thought, you know, we stood a chance. I thought Vancouver looked great in the first half. And then, as I said, I was really surprised how they came out in the second. Just so flat.
It was flat.
What do you think that was? Do you think it was home jitters? Do you think it was...
Maybe just...
Toronto RC do anything to kind of force him to play like that?
I think they were scared. I think the physicality was... too much for
them. I think, you know what, that's, it could have been, I think maybe psychologically.
That too. Yeah.
You know, when we scored that goal, they sort of realized, shit, like these guys can just pull something out. Like we can be dominating them and they can pull out a goal like that.
It always happens before any team scores before a halftime. It always changes the momentum.
Yeah.
Any league, any team, any sport.
And even when we look at that second goal.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, we're at a very busy bar. Yeah. Everyone's having a good time. But I was like, whoa, like that came out of nowhere. I felt like it was just a routine sort of break. And it really was just Morrow and Finley who were in the run. Like, they were leading the charge.
And you wouldn't have even expected it.
Nope.
You wouldn't be saying Morrow and Finley.
Well, and
that's not what you're expecting to say.
That's our second line, right?
Yeah.
And, but let's talk about that part out of the game. How do you feel that in this opening game where we won... We can say that it was Morrow and Finley who hooked up for a goal. It's not just, we're only just talking about Altidore and Giovinco.
Yeah. Giddy? I mean, like I said to Paul, I'm like, Paul, I don't know if I can say anything bad here or anything negative. I mean, that's...
I love that Finley made that run. You know what I mean? Like, he was on the wing, but he played like a striker.
It was beautiful.
Yeah. And I think that's where you're going to get from him, I think. Like, we're not going to see, he's not going to be quite as technical on the ball as Osorio with his passing and whatnot and ball control, as well as Bradley and Cheru. But I think his pace and, like, sort of, like, swooping in on the back and sort of, like, cleaning up the stuff that's left in there, I think that might be what we'll see from him.
Yeah.
Get, like, 8 goals from him this year?
I think he's been, when he was on Salt Lake, what was it, 4 or 5 years ago, you know, he put in like 12 to 15 thereabouts, if I remember right. Okay. He had 2 good years with Real Salt Lake where he was around that. So if we can get 7 to 10 out of him, that's a major bonus.
Another thing I noticed today is I haven't seen pace like that from a Toronto FC club since Marvel Wynn was... Remember,
they did move it quickly.
I can't remember seeing that. It's just sometimes watching the game through this game, I don't know what I was watching. So that's why I say. I mean, I'm very positive. I'm very up on this game, just like I was last year after the fold. I mean, we went, how many games did we win in a row? 2 or one, 2 and 2 0 and 2.
We had a good start.
A good start and we were all pumped up and chanting like Liverpool did, we were going to win the league and everything, and look what happened. I'm going to be cautiously optimistic. It's just the nature of being a TFC fan.
Yeah, sure. And if we sort of wind out the last goal, You know what I'm saying? In Vancouver's defense, I really one of the things that grinds my is the foul in the box that's like off a non-scoring opportunity.
Yeah.
It bothers me. I remember there was one. It was last year. Henry got called on a foul against Kansas City, and the guy just booted it. Like, he wasn't going. The ball was kicked away. He was never going to score with it, and they called the penalty.
Henry just has bad luck.
I know, but it's
poor,
like,
Henry.
That's just. I'm just illustrating the point.
Yeah,
I
know.
Alzador was never going to score on that play.
No, but he. I think it's what he did leading up to that chance.
It was a nice, like, the way that he turned his shoulder in there and created
the
space.
He threw himself into him.
Yeah,
for sure.
But that's his power, man. He's a beast. He's a tank.
Do you think that he got that call because it's Altidore coming into the league the first?
No, I don't think it's because of that, because we're already winning 2-1 in injury time. Just about injury time, sorry.
I think he's going to get that.
What?
I was going to say, I think probably some of these reps don't realize, like, if you followed him elsewhere, like in England, he didn't play a physical game.
No, he didn't.
Like, he wasn't a beast. I don't think he's a very, overall, like at the highest level, he's not a physical guy. But I think when he steps into this field and you see such a big guy, that if he goes down, he must have been fouled. You know what I mean? That's the thing I think probably they saw in that play was that, oh, like, he's so big. And he couldn't have fallen down like that unless it was like a hard play.
Leading up to it, you saw him get clipped one time, touched another time. You know, it was almost like it was a progression.
I think he sold it for sure.
Good. If we can sell it.
I think he took the ball off his chest and he was going to the right.
Yeah.
And he knew that he didn't have a play after that, so he just kept going. He kind of threw himself.
Yeah.
And he got the call. I don't like to see it, but
if we're going to get calls, I don't give a crap. And you know what? Any fan of any team would say the same thing.
Yeah, no, I know.
Okay,
I
so
know.
If we're going to get calls like that,
it's a dirty
I'm all
call.
For it.
It's a dirty call, but I'll take it.
3-1 looks better than 2-1.
And how about that kick, penalty kick?
Yeah.
Oh, so confident.
As soon as I saw that, I'm like, no, what are you doing?
Oh,
what are you doing?
I don't know if he was going to drill it or just...
That you watch that angle on the TV and you're like, oh, I kicked it over the net. You think he kicks it over the goal and you're like, what an idiot. But it went in and you're like, wow,
beautiful. Lucky
guy.
Oh, man, that was good.
I think with that penalty, he was making a statement about, I'm back. You know, I'm going to do better. What you saw in England is not me. I'm confident I'm going to do it.
Listen, it might not have been him in England. I mean, some guys just don't adapt to the game. You see it from any nationality. They come from Spain. They can't adapt to what England's all about.
Yeah, but, you know, it's different in a situation where you're, like, he's brought in here and we're building a team, right, like, around these parts. And I think when he was in England, they were bringing him, expecting him to save them.
Yeah.
Expecting him to take the team and make something happen. And some players just aren't built for that. Julian de Guzman wasn't built for that, right? He wasn't built to build it. But on a team that's, like, they're building all the parts, he's a great player.
I don't know. You said that name and I got nauseous a little bit. Sorry.
Yeah. I got to be careful with, like, you know, what former TFC players you reference. You never know how someone's going to react, right?
I know. But, you know, anyway. We won't get into him, but yeah, you're right about that. You don't know how players.
I think what he did was he punctuated the game today.
I think this year I'm gonna say what I always say: they're gonna win the league.
They're gonna win the league.
And then when it comes halfway through, I may change my mind and get snobby. But you know.
Well, okay, then let's like, I know I already got a good sense from you, George, of like how you're feeling about this year, because I kind of wanted to get, as we head out. Obviously, we won this game. I have a feeling we're going to know what this next week of press and the news or whatever you want to call it is coming out of is. It's going to be sky high in terms of positivity. But leading into the season, we saw the articles, we saw the press conferences, we saw Toronto FC TV with these guys talking about stuff. And I'm just wondering, sort of, obviously at this point, how much of that do you take in? How much of that are we, like, really sort of retaining as, like, influencing your outlook on the club? Or are we all in this, like, I'm in the boat, I'm just like, I said it in my last podcast, like, when Bezbatenko talks, I hit mute.
Yeah.
You know, when those commercials on, I'm mute, everything's mute, and I'm just watching the game. And
yeah,
that's what's speaking to me now, nothing else.
I don't listen to Bez, okay? And this is the first year, from a supporter group point of view, I didn't buy into anything the club said. I had enough. and I'm going to take it by a game-by-game basis. I'm going to still do the same... we're going to still do the same passionate stuff we always do. I was going to swear. I'm trying to change. Paul and my fiancé are trying to make me change, so... but I didn't attend any events. I didn't really read into any of the hype. There was no big bloody bus. And I'm going to take it on a game-by-game basis. I'm going to enjoy this win. And as the season goes on, I'm going to get rowdier if we keep on winning. I'm going to get rowdier if we keep on losing. And if the off chance were, and if I'm not going to jinx anything, that's why I say off chance. It's not because I'm not confident or anything. We're in the playoffs. I'm going to be happy. And if we win the cup, it's over. It's going to be a riot. So I'm positive.
So that's your high bar, win the cup.
It is.
Yep.
It's not even playoffs anymore. We've been through 8 years. And you know what? We say we're going to win the league and all this stuff like that. We're going to win the cup. Yeah, we have playoffs here in MLS, but that's what we want.
Yeah.
I think we've had enough of losing. I think we've had enough. I mean, when your high point as a club is having Preki and winning all those games and being second in the league and then going on a losing streak, and your high point is playing for the last playoff spot and losing 5-0 to the worst team in the league, you want something more. If we make the playoffs, I'll be happy. I'm not going to lie. But I think that I'm going to take it on a game-by-game basis. And I think the anticipation will build and the excitement will build for everybody.
Yeah.
Us as supporter clubs and as a general fan.
Yeah.
Well, then how about, let's talk about, going out of this game and sort of like the realistic take on such a tough start to a season. Is there any room in there of saying, you know what, we could come out, I mean, after this game, we could be 1-6 by the time we open our home.
Not a chance. Sorry.
Why not? Why? I mean, say it. I mean, it's a tough grind. Like, you never know.
It's a different club.
Well, the kind of rule of thumb is that you want to get half the points on the road that you can, right?
Yeah.
So we got 7-8 games on the road. Is
seven,
it eight?
Seven.
Seven games? So that's 21 points. We want like 10. Right? Want 10 points. So we got 3 tonight. We got 7 points to get over the next 6 games.
Yeah, but now
if we do that,
yeah.
Is that successful? Or is it not successful because we paid all this money for these players? We should be doing better.
We didn't pay the money.
Fair. We didn't.
And I think there's something different. I said it last year, there's something different. Maybe because it was Defoe and the hype and the marketing. But there's something about this club. How they play today. I think that it's fluid.
There was
a fluidity.
And we said it last week that was, you know, we obviously brought in like 2 new attackers, which replaced the 2 outgoing attackers. But then there have been upgrades, I think. Like Sheyrood, I think, is is a big upgrade, right? I think Finley technically is an upgrade. I'd from what we saw today, anyways. Perki out there is an upgrade. So I think there's reason to say that, yeah, you know what, this team is better than it was last year.
And if you look at the schedule moving forward, right, what do you got? You got Columbus. What? What does that say?
Well, Columbus is going to be a good team this year. I think they're.
Are they?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they got some good young players on there. And
we got about 3,000 people going out of Columbus. That's
what,
a
this
whole,
year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you know how many
buses?
Another
crew going
out.
Really?
Yeah, they're doing it again.
You know how many buses are down there?
I didn't know there were so many.
And some of us are going to go. And you know, anyways, but yeah, the club is providing buses also for. Quote unquote, I'm doing quotations for everybody that can't see me.
But you said them too, so they know.
I did. But I'm also on, I don't know how many Guinness, right?
Yeah.
So, and they haven't made me angry today, maybe because TFC won, but on top of also the supporter clubs going down, MLSC is also giving the option for non supporter club members to go down there on a free trip, and I think that's great. And I'm sorry, I can't believe I'm complimenting head office. But
who's after that? Who's after Columbus?
Who's after Columbus is 2 weeks off.
Oh, yeah. And then it's
off.
Real Salt Lake
and it's
on the
Real
29th.
Salt Lake. So you come away with 6 points. You go into Salt Lake,
you're banking on 3 points at Columbus already.
That's pretty similar to last year, eh? Like we had those kind of games early on last year, too.
That's true, yeah. Bradley,
You got... Bradley's going home, right? What is he going to do? We got our traveling support. That isn't... I don't consider that an away game. I don't consider Columbus an away game ever. There's 8,000 people in the stands. No offense to people from Columbus, but... Especially now. We saw what it did in Montreal. I mean, we lost that game, but when we travel, it becomes a home game.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to change the momentum in that game, whether they're good or not.
Okay, well then let's on the sort of the outro of looking at this Columbus game, taking from what we said today, can you look at anything in terms of this game that you say, this is the things we need to continue to do and these are the things we need to watch out for?
We need to continue to win.
Specifically in the play of the team.
I know.
What are the
things
we need? Like, what? Like, how would you... things that need to be picked up, things we need to improve on, anything that you, like... I thought overall it was a decent game. You know, obviously, I'm probably going to be watching that back line again to see if we get caught out in the middle.
You have to shore up the back line, and you can't depend on... As much as I like Bendick, you have to shore up that back line because Bendick is not going to have a game where he makes 20 stops or 10 stops.
No, and like...
Columbus He's going to let in a soft game.
And Columbus has the benefit of seeing us play this week, right? So, I mean, they're not going to be caught unawares. They're going to know how we're going to play. So, it's going to be close. It's going to be tight.
Or do we change it up?
I don't know if you change it up this early in the season. How can you change it up?
You'd be a team that changes all the time, man.
You've got to know how you're going to play before you can change it up, right?
Yeah, you're right. you're right. But you know,
I think it's going to be a close game. I would say if we get a draw in Columbus, I'd be happy with that. I'd be happy.
Well, my money's on the win, but yeah, I'd be happy with the draw. I think we come out of the first two games with 6 points. And then we go on the West Coast there. We play DC, we play Real and we play Dallas. And before that, we play Chicago. I think Chicago's not going to be a difficult game. I think those two difficult games in the first 5 games is going to be Real and Dallas. And I think that'll show us how we stack up. I don't think Columbus will show what the game in Columbus, I don't think will show what this club is, how they stack up. That's my opinion.
Yeah. I'll be interested to see how, I'm also interested to see how Columbus plays in this game and how we weather perhaps a team that, anyway, I'm not trying to be overly critical of Vancouver, but I did think they switched off in the second half. So that's something that I think we need to see, is how this team copes and how it adjusts to a team that's going to last the full 90 and carry the same momentum through the game, or maybe not dump it all in the beginning of the game and turn it on later on.
Yeah.
I would think with a team that has a player like Higuain sort of pulling the strings, they'll consistently be a threat.
Is there a matchup, Higuain and Jovinko?
No, I think the matchup would be, say, like Bradley and him. I mean, obviously, like position to position, but I think the you're going to see Higuain stacking up against Bradley, more or less, and that's what I think. We'll see what happens there. So I'm interested to see it. I think actually Columbus might be a better test than Vancouver.
Yeah.
Just because of the rivalry that's there, the passion that we in. I mean, Vancouver, it's the same thing.
Don't forget that Trillium Cup, eh?
I will never forget that. Hey, are we two time?
It's in the trophy.
Right, remember when Ryan Johnson, like, hey man, you want a trophy? And he goes, What is this? What are you giving me? Like, we won the. And they're just standing there, being like, what the fuck is this thing? It's a Trillium Cup, man. You won it.
Oh, man,
and then last year we won it before the last game that we played.
Yeah, yeah. We were actually in Columbus.
We locked it up ahead of time. Yeah, that's how good we were.
Coasted. Coasted to the victory.
That was a good game we were at last year.
Oh, I know.
Oh, in Columbus. Oh,
hey, look,
man.
If we can't get anything through a season, guys, a Trillium Cup, minimum.
Yes, I'll take it. It's all we got.
I'll take beating Montreal all the time. I'll be
they lost their opening game, so.
Okay, hey, so you know what? Here, to sort of finish this off, I didn't really plan it, but you guys, things have changed up for your supporters group this year. Let everyone know. Original 109
has moved for the third time. A little bit more organized this time. We've been relocated by the club again to the south end. So we've moved to section 116.
You sound thrilled.
I mean, there's positives and there's negatives. I mean, we moved from 109 because we were in a supporter section officially over there. We didn't have the same benefits of any other supporter club. We did the move the first time to 110. It was very disorganized, to say the least. And now it just, I understand the vision of the club and wanting to have all the supporter groups in the south end. And we felt that we wanted to stay in 110. We were told we would have that opportunity, but in the end, it didn't really phase out. So we had to convince membership to go along with it. Some people didn't like it. Some people still don't like it, but we're there. We're going to build again.
You know, we're going to look at it as a positive.
We are.
Because we're going to be with the Kings in the North.
We're sharing a section.
Also, are they not in 127 anymore?
No, Kings in the... Everybody's been relocated. So, well, not everybody, because obviously U Sector and Ibriati, SG114, and Red Patch were in the South End. Because of the new stadium, the expansion right behind us was going to be corporate boxes, and I don't think a supporter group fit into the plans to be right in front of those
sure,
boxes.
Sure, yeah, I understand what you're saying.
So we had to come to after negotiations and conversations.
So have you had any discussions with any of the other groups that are close to you, or all of them?
Yeah, well, we have meetings with every group, and we have our own leadership meetings amongst us away from the club. We're sharing a section now with Kings of the North, who have been relocated. We're doing kind of like joint things together because we share that section. So there'll be a joint banners and joint banners at the front, you know, showing that the two groups are there. So Kings of the North had to move as well, and they moved into 116. I think they're happy with it. I think we're going to grow with it. And I think that moving forward, I think it's good to have everybody there, but we want to see eventually what we wanted to have is have the whole stadium in that atmosphere.
Yeah.
Not just the south end.
Yep.
I mean, it's good to have that, but you always want to be, since we were the innovators of support in MLS, well, hardcore, I think, anyways. I mean, you want to have it like it is in Seattle. I'm sorry, but we don't have that, right? And we want to have that. And that's what we were formed to do. And we're now there, and we're going to roll with it. I mean, we moved everybody again. It's been more organized. I appreciate everything the club did so that we're all together now.
This will be the last move. There's nowhere else to go.
There's nowhere else. The only other place is out the door. So yeah. I don't think that's going to happen. She would probably want me to be out the door. But I can't do that. But yeah, we're there, and we're gonna grow. We have a pub crawl coming out. It hasn't been officially announced yet by the club, but the pub crawls are back, and ours is May 2nd at Shoey's at Martin Grove at 409, and we've invited an Ibriati out there because their bar doesn't have Bud. Ours, we dusted out the line. And it's going to be a good night. So I invite anybody. It's open to the public. May 2nd at Shoey's. There'll be more information coming.
And how can people get in touch with you?
With us?
You're on Twitter.
We're on Twitter. @ OriginalTFC109. Sorry it's so long, but that Original 109 wasn't available.
It happens.
www.original109.ca. info@original.
Or supporters@original.
Okay, yeah, I was going to give info. Yeah. supporters@originaltfc.com, info@originaltfc.com. Or no,
original109.ca.
See, the
this is like,
can right. you edit this?
No, I'm leaving that all in.
No, don't do that. Yeah, that's almost as bad as my
supporters@original109.ca.
There you go.
Oh my god.
Well, Paul Marhew,
Eastside stand up. I always think every time I'm like, the times we come on, I'm like, oh, I should really like pump up the synergy.
It's an organic thing, brother. And then
it never happens. I'm like, happen. Oh yeah, you guys stand up. Yeah. Where can we go find you, Paul?
I'm at...
you do two strips now. Technically?
Yeah, I'm doing two strips. So I'm still doing Eastside stand-up. And I'm also doing a Toronto FC-sponsored comic called Oh Win the Reds. So that publishes every Tuesday. But Eastside stand-up publishes probably two or three times a week. And you can reach me at Ray Paul on Twitter. And for Toronto FC, you can just go to the at Toronto FC Twitter account. They're gonna broadcast
that. And I have a personal account that I haven't used, but I'm gonna try and use it. It's at Georgie Nines. At Georgie Nines.
All right.
Spell it however you want.
We'll let everyone else figure it out.
Figure that out.
I had a buddy on here, Andre, who came on, and his thing, his Twitter handle was like ZK or something like that. And I'm like, I'm not going to even let you spell that out. That's such a stupid Twitter handle. No one will ever know how to find you. Why did you bother? Why didn't you, like, you can find me at Clark RNO.
There you go.
How easy is that?
That's easy. Very easy.
And so I'm going to...
RNO.
RNO. No, RNO.
Oh, I see. Yeah, okay.
You got me. Okay.
No.
Anyways, people will they'll figure it out. Anyways,
you're awesome.
Yeah, we're going to leave it at that, guys. Next weekend's Columbus. Yep. I won't be going to Columbus, so I'll be in the city. We're wrapping up the same way as then. And hopefully this continues on, and it's more like 2015 is like something we've never experienced before. Let's just leave it like that. On that note, thanks a lot, Paul. Thanks a lot, George.
Thank you.
And thank you for
listening.
Thanks
for having us.
We'll catch you guys in a week.
Take care.
Eastside Stand Up is the only Toronto FC podcast breaking down the game right after it happens. We want you to get involved. Reach out to us on Twitter at Red Nation Online or via email at info or have your say at rednationonline.ca. Get in touch with us. Let us know how you thought the team did. Agree, disagree. It doesn't matter. Also, check out our other podcasts on Red Nation Online, From the Black Hole, Ours is the Fury, The Footy Roundup, and our interview series. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you guys next time.